Today is the 27th day of October. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It's great to be here with you today for, of course, the next step forward in the journey that we find ourselves on together. And if my math is correct, this is day 301. So this is our 301st step of 365 steps on this adventure that is the Bible. And we're kind of rounding the corner on the book of Jeremiah. And we've spent most of this month reading from Jeremiah in the Old Testament. We will conclude the book of Jeremiah tomorrow. We are also reading Paul's letter to Titus, which we will also conclude tomorrow. But it's not tomorrow, it's today. So, from the Names of God Bible, Jeremiah chapter 51, verses 1 through 53. This is what Yahweh says. I will stir up a destructive wind against Babylon and against the people who live in Leb Kamai. I will send people to winnow Babylon, to winnow it and strip its land bare. They will attack it from every direction on the day of trouble. Have the archers bend their bows. Have them put on their armor. Don't spare Babylon's young men. Completely destroy its whole army. Babylon's soldiers will fall down badly wounded in their streets. They will lie dead in their own land. Israel and Judah haven't been abandoned by their Elohim, Yahweh, Tzabaoth, although their land is guilty of abandoning Kadosh Israel. Run away from Babylon. Run for your lives. You shouldn't die because of Babylon's crimes. This is the time for the vengeance of Yahweh. He will pay the people of Babylon back for what they have done. Babylon was a golden cup in Yahweh's hand. It made the whole world drunk. The nations drank its wine. That is why the nations have gone insane. Babylon will suddenly fall and be shattered. Cry for it. Bring medicine for its pain. Maybe it can be healed. We wanted to heal Babylon, but it couldn't be healed. Let's abandon it and go to our own land. Yahweh has judged Babylon. Its judgment is complete. Yahweh has brought about our victory. Let's announce in Zion what Yahweh, our Elohim, has done. Sharpen the arrows. Fill the quivers. Yahweh will stir up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, because his plan is to destroy Babylon. Yahweh will avenge his temple. Raise your battle flag in front of the walls of Babylon. Strengthen the guards. Station watchmen. Prepare ambushes. Yahweh will carry out his plans against the people who live in Babylon. Babylon, you live beside many rivers and are rich with treasures, but your end has come. The thread of your life has been cut off. Yahweh, Tzabaoth, has taken an oath on himself. I will certainly fill you with many enemy armies. They will swarm like locusts. People will shout their victory over you. Yahweh made the earth by his power. He set up the world by his wisdom. He stretched out heaven by his understanding. When he thunders, the water in the sky roars. He makes clouds rise from the ends of the earth. He sends lightning with the rain. He brings wind out of his storehouses. Everyone is stupid and ignorant. Metalsmiths are put to shame by their idols. Their statues are false gods. They can't breathe. they are worthless jokes. When they are punished, they will disappear. Jacob's God isn't like them. He made everything, and Israel is the tribe that belongs to him. His name is Yahweh, Tzebaoth. You are my war club and my weapon for battle. I will use you to crush nations. I will use you to destroy kingdoms. I will use you to crush horses and their riders. I will use you to crush chariots and their drivers. I will use you to crush men and women. I will use you to crush the old and the young. I will use you to crush young men and women. I will use you to crush shepherds and their flocks. I will use you to crush farmers and their oxen. I will use you to crush governors and officials. In your presence, I will pay back Babylon and all the people who live in Babylon for all the evil things that they did in Zion, declares Yahweh. I am against you, Babylon, you destructive mountain. You have destroyed the whole earth, declares Yahweh. I will use my power against you, roll you off the cliffs, and make you a scorched mountain. People won't find any stones in you to use as a cornerstone. They won't find any stones in you to use for a foundation. You will become permanent ruins, declares Yahweh. Raise your battle flag throughout the world. Blow the ram's horn among the nations. Prepare nations to attack Babylon. Tell the kingdoms of Ararat, Mani, and Ashkenaz to attack it. Appoint a commander to lead the attack. Bring up horses like a swarm of locusts. Prepare nations to attack Babylon. Prepare the king of the Medes, their governors, all their deputies, and all the countries that they rule. The earth trembles and writhes in pain. Yahweh carries out his plans against Babylon, to make Babylon a wasteland so that no one will live there. The warriors of Babylon have stopped fighting. They stay in their fortified cities. Their strength has failed. They have become women. Their buildings are set on fire. The bars across their gates are broken. Runners run to meet runners. Messengers follow messengers. They inform the king of Babylon that his entire city is captured. The river crossings have been taken. The enemy has burned its marshes, and its soldiers are terrified. This is what Yahweh, Tzebaoth, the Elohim of Israel, says. The people of Babylon are like a threshing floor at the time it is trampled. Their harvest time will come soon. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon has devoured us. He has thrown us into confusion. He has turned us into empty jars. He has swallowed us like a monster. He has filled his belly with our delicacies. Then he spit us out. The people who live in Zion say, "May the violence done to us be done to Babylon." Jerusalem says, "May the people of Babylon be held responsible for our deaths." This is what Yahweh says. I am going to take up your cause and get revenge for you. I will dry up Babylon's sea and make its springs dry. Babylon will become piles of rubble. It will become a dwelling place for jackals, something horrible, and an object of contempt where no one lives. Its people are like roaring lions and growling lion cubs. When they are excited, I will prepare a feast for them and make them drunk so that they will shout and laugh. they will fall into a deep sleep and never wake up again, declares Yahweh. I will take them to be slaughtered like lambs, rams, and male goats. Shishak has been captured. Babylon, the city that the whole world praised, has been taken captive. What a horrifying sight Babylon will be to the nations. The sea will rise over Babylon, and its roaring waves will cover it. Its cities will be ruined. It will become a desert, a land where no one lives and where no human travels. I will punish Bel in Babylon. I will make Bel spit out everything that it has swallowed. Nations will no longer stream to Babylon, and its walls will fall. Leave it, my people. Run for your lives. Run from the burning anger of Yahweh. Don't lose courage or be afraid when rumors are heard in the land. One rumor comes one year, another rumor comes the next year. Rumors of violence are in the land. Rumors that one ruler will fight against another are in the land. That is why the days are coming when I will punish Babylon's idols. The whole country will be put to shame, and all its soldiers will lie dead. Then heaven and earth and everything in them will rejoice over Babylon, because destroyers from the north will attack it, declares Yahweh. Because the people of Babylon have killed many Israelites, and because they have killed many people throughout the earth, Babylon must fall. You people who escaped from the sword, leave. Don't just stand there. Remember Yahweh in a distant land and think about Jerusalem. We have been put to shame, and we have been disgraced. Shame covers our faces, because foreigners have gone into the holy places of Yahweh's temple. That is why the days are coming, declares Yahweh, when I will punish their idols, and those who are wounded will moan everywhere in the land. The people of Babylon might go up to heaven. They might fortify their strongholds, but destroyers will still come from me against them, declares Yahweh. Titus 2. Tell believers to live the kind of life that goes along with accurate teachings. Tell older men to be sober. Tell them to be men of good character, to use good judgment, and to be well grounded in faith, love, and endurance. Tell older women to live their lives in a way that shows they are dedicated to God. Tell them not to be gossips or addicted to alcohol, but to be examples of virtue. In this way, they will teach young women to show love to their husbands and children, to use good judgment, and to be morally pure. Also, tell them to teach young women to be homemakers, to be kind, and to place themselves under their husband's authority. Then no one can speak evil of God's word. Encourage young men to use good judgment. Always set an example by doing good things. When you teach, be an example of moral purity and dignity. Speak an accurate message that cannot be condemned. Then those who oppose us will be ashamed because they cannot say anything bad about us. Tell slaves who are believers to place themselves under their master's authority in everything they do. Tell them to please their masters, not to argue with them or steal from them. Instead, tell slaves to show their masters how good and completely loyal they can be. and they will show the beauty of the teachings about God our Savior in everything they do. After all, God's saving kindness has appeared for the benefit of all people. It trains us to avoid ungodly lives filled with worldly desires so that we can live self-controlled, moral, and godly lives in this present world. At the same time, we can expect what we hope for: the appearance of the glory of our great God and Savior, Yeshua, Christ. He gave himself for us to set us free from every sin and to cleanse us so that we can be his special people who are enthusiastic about doing good things. Tell these things to the believers. Encourage and correct them using your full authority. Don't let anyone ignore you. Psalm 99. Yahweh rules as king. Let the people tremble. He is enthroned over the angels. Let the earth quake. Yahweh is mighty in Zion. He is high above all people. Let them give thanks to your great and fearful name. He is holy. The king's strength is that he loves justice. You have established fairness. You have done what is fair and right for Jacob. Highly honor Yahweh, our Elohim. Bow down at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who prayed to him. They called to Yahweh and he answered them. He spoke to them from a column of smoke. They obeyed his written instructions and the laws that he gave them. O Yahweh, our Elohim, you answered them. You showed them that you are a forgiving El, and that you are an El who punishes their sinful deeds. Highly honor Yahweh, our Elohim. Bow at his holy mountain. Yahweh, our Elohim, is holy. Proverbs 26:17. Like grabbing a dog by the ears, so is a bystander who gets involved in someone else's quarrel. Okay, let's talk about the proverb for a second, and then we will tie it to something that Paul says in Titus. Okay, so do you know someone in your life that they seem to be in every single argument around you? Like, they're in everything. Like, they can be around people and maybe overhear somebody debating or having a conversation, and then they insert themselves into the equation uninvited, as if they can't help themselves. We all probably know people like that. Maybe we even are a person like that. The book of Proverbs counsels us that is like sneaking up behind a dog and grabbing it by the ears. And I don't care whether it's a little dog or a big dog. That's never a good plan, because you're going to get growled at, snapped at, maybe even bitten. That's what you set yourself up for when you insert yourself into other people's business. And it doesn't usually go well. And a lot of times when we are that person, we might be thinking, like, I'm just trying to help people. And I talk to people and I'm just trying to help. But what we're not realizing is we really like hearing ourselves speak, and we like to instruct people whether they want it or not. We feel like we have a valuable valuable opinion, and it needs to be heard whether anyone wants to hear it or not. And then pretty soon nobody wants to hear it. And then we wonder why we don't have any friends. And it's because we keep grabbing a dog by its ears by inserting ourselves where we're not invited. Now, conversely, we probably also could bring to mind a person in our life that we think is full of wisdom and wise. And it's rare to find that kind of a person inserting themselves into every equation. Those are the people that we seek out. We actually want their opinion. We actually want to know what they have to say and what they might be able to share, because they live a life that we look up to and they carry wisdom that we seek. And we witness their relationship with God, and we witness their self-control. Like we witness the evidence of that relationship and we seek it out. Paul refers to that kind of person in his letter to Titus. So he's going down a list of different life circumstances and behaviors that would be appropriate and proper in those circumstances. And then he says, after all, God's saving kindness has appeared for the benefit of all people. It trains us to avoid ungodly lives filled with worldly desires, so that we can live self-controlled, moral, and godly lives in this present world. So that we can live this way right now. So that we can live self-controlled, moral, and godly lives right now, while at the same time hoping for what we are expecting: the appearance of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. So Paul basically gives us an example or a view of the opposite of what the proverb is talking about, and tells us that it's available right now in this present world. Which brings us to the ultimate question of why do we do the things that we do? If we don't have any really deep relationships because we insert ourselves into everything and grab the dog by the ears all of the time, then we can ask ourselves, what's underneath that? Because that behavior is just an outpouring of something below. And we're exposing our own insecurities. And yet, according to the letter to Titus, God's saving kindness invades that space and trains us to avoid things that are ungodly in every way, and trains us to live self-controlled, including our tongues, self-controlled, moral, and godly lives in this present world, in the right now. And so, Father, that is what we want. All of the story that has led us to this place and all of the behaviors that go along with it that are at times destructive or unhelpful at minimum, we surrender that to you. Because it's unlikely that we're not aware, that we're just completely unaware. And so we surrender those insecurities and those wounds and the assumptions that we continually formulate, the things that we invent in our heads all of the time, all of that stuff that motivates us in ways that are not self-controlled, moral, and godly in this present world, all of that we surrender to you and invite your Holy Spirit to come restore, repair, heal, and make new again those places that are trigger points for us in our behaviors. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
This is At His Feet, calling from Cincinnati, Ohio, and I'm calling in to pray for Lisa and his little Cherie. I'm a little bit behind and I'm catching up, but those two prayer requests really just pricked my heart. And so, God, I offer, I hold my sister, Cherie, up to you, God, and I pray that you would lay your hand on her body. God, I ask that you would give her perfect peace that passes all understanding for every decision that she has to make concerning her health challenges. And I ask, oh God, that you would give her just guidance on what to do and what not to do and just how to move forward in this specific situation. I thank you for her encouragement and for her just being so faithful to this community. And I pray, oh God, that you would just lead, guide, and direct her. Continue to wrap your arms around her, oh God. And in the midnight hour, I pray that you would just whisper in your still small voice in her ear that comfort, so that she knows that you are still leading and guiding and working, even though you may not necessarily be saying anything. And I also ask, oh God, that you would lay your hand on my sister Lisa's body, that you would move in the miraculous, oh God, do the supernatural in her life, oh God. And I pray, oh God, that you would just remove any discomfort that she's feeling and just give her peace also as she navigates through this situation. We believe you to be the perfect healer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, DAB family. This is Dr. Bob from Phoenix. I just heard the anguish in Junta Treasurer's voice when she just posted on the community prayer. All the stress that she's been going through, the disappointments, the financial difficulties that she's had with her events and with her phone. And Junta Treasurer, I just want to say I'm not the prayer warrior that you are. I admire all the prayers that you give forth every single time you're on this platform. You pray for everyone all over the world. I think it's time for us to pray for you. Let me pray for you directly. Again, I'm not a great prayer warrior, Junta Treasurer, but you mean so much to me, and I'm sure to all of us. So let me just ask our Lord in heaven, please come to the aid of your faithful servant, Junta Treasurer, as she's going through these difficulties with her phone and her living in rural America with lack of reception, lack of adequate funds to get her through from month to month. Lord, she's a great warrior for you, for all of us. Please come to her needs, as I'm sure you always do. You've always kept all of us under your wings, and you always provide for us all in our times of need. So let me be the one to make this prayer, make this special request to you, Lord. Come to Treasurer's aid today. Bless her, keep blessing her, and give her the financial resources and the peace that she needs that goes beyond all understanding. Thank you. Bless you. Bless you all.
Hey, Lori Ann from South Carolina. This is Heather of Pikespeak by way of Texas. And I heard you on the Daily Audio Bible on October 22nd. And, you know, it saddens me to what Christ went through to die on the cross. But this was ordained by God so that there would be no more sacrifices. He would end all sacrifices for all time. He covered every sin on the earth for all time. And that means even people in the world, when they don't know it, but their sins are covered by Jesus. And when you come to Jesus and you accept Jesus as your own and you accept him as your Savior, your sins are forgiven. That's it. That's it. There's no hoops. There's no special works. There's no nothing that we could do. Jesus did it all. And so Jesus says, you know, in John chapter 10, verse 29, that, the Lord has made him shepherd, and no one can snatch his sheep out of his hand. No one. So that means your name is written in the book of life. You have a salvation through Christ Jesus. You are a part of the bride, which is the bride of Christ, which is the church. We are the body of the church. So tell that demon of doubt, and that you don't need to battle that anymore, that your name is written in the book of life, and you tell him in the name of Jesus, go away, because he is not welcome to question your faith. You are a child of God. Your name is written in the book of life. Jesus died for you, and you have your salvation. I hope that this helps you, sister. I love you.
Hi there, this is Katie in Ohio. I wanted to call for Lorianne in South Carolina. Lorianne said that she battles doubt that she'll be in heaven on a continual basis, no matter how much she reads her Bible or does anything else. And I wanted to say, Lorianne, I've gone through periods like that. I don't think it's uncommon for especially certain personality types. I've also battled guilt over things that I've asked forgiveness for over and over and over again. And I was given advice that I want to pass on to you. Lorianne, if you've admitted that you're a sinner, if you believe in your heart that God died for you, if you've confessed your sins and asked him to come in, then he's forgiven you. Then you will be in heaven. And anything after that, any guilt, any doubt, that is of Satan. That's not of the Holy Spirit. So fight off those fears and doubts. Fend them off with the Word of God. Memorize scriptures that can bolster you, that can help you get through. Because I am certain I will see you in heaven, and I can't wait to meet you.